in Mario's. And we have just a few books back on the book table. Most of them went this weekend. We've been having some incredible meetings here. How many of you have been to any of the meetings that we've had so far? Oh, yeah, a lot of you. Very good. Well, you know already what Mario's carries. For those of you who have not, who in here has, you've never heard Mario speak? Wow, quite a few. That's awesome. You're in for a treat.
Yes.
But it's really incredible that a man of God, I've been asking about you. I wondered where you were. It's good to see you. It's incredible that a man of God carries such weight of God's presence in them everywhere they go. We're still really hot on this microphone. Can you turn this way down? Turn it down. There, I think we're getting there. That's good. So when somebody carries something, you know, there's a saying, if you want to have big fleas, you got to hang around big dogs. And so when God brings you into proximity to somebody that carries something so mighty, I don't take it lightly. There's purpose in it. And so I'm so thankful to be connected with a man that carries that. And even more so that God's put it on his heart to come and release here where he's going. And I'll just share this. Maybe you will when you get up. But the reason that he continues to come back is because the impartations that he makes here, when he comes back the following year, he sees the fruit of. And it's true. And so I'm anxious to get our marching orders for next year out of Mario's. But this year's a little different. There's something that is happening that is so strategic in the heavenly realms. And I don't think it's just this house. I think there's a release that's happening, and it's regionally. It could be statewide, but something is really shifting. I mean, I'm more excited about the kingdom of God than I have been. And I've seen some great things and been some great places, but this tops them all, where we're headed. But if you don't recognize it, you'll just miss it. You can drive right past the Grand Canyon at night and never even know it's there. I want to turn the lights on so you can see that we're at a new season so you won't miss it. And I believe Marios is carrying a key, a release into that. He's got the light switch today. No pressure. I mean, no pressure at all. But no, you know, the pressure really isn't on him, and he knows it. It's on God. God is doing a divine setup. He's Jehovah Sneaky. So we're just going to enjoy his presence today as Mario speaks. Mario has authored 12 books that are incredible bestsellers, even not in just Christian genre. Amazing. He's gone before great places. Maybe he'll speak on some of that today. But he's a friend to this house. And when I say that, I don't just mean he's a friend because we have him in and speak. He's a friend. He's always asking, what's going on here? His heart is invested in this house. That's astounding. So we're so thankful, Marios, that you are here. And Danielle is not here. That's disappointing. But she'll be here the next time. But there was some conflict last year over the use of the guest room at our house. We won't go into all that, but he's none of that happened, and I don't know if that had anything to do with Danielle not coming this year, but you know. I don't know. Please hear me when I say this, and I could name names and people I've been around. So I don't know anybody on the planet in all of my life and all my travels that even come close to carrying the level of honor that this man carries. So I'm going to ask you to honor the honor that's in the house. Would you stand and honor the gift that God has brought in our midst today, Mario Salinas?
Thank you, everybody. It's good to be here. I don't know if I'm the big dog or the big flea, but I was in the dog house last year when Danielle was here. Man, there's a lot of rhyming to what I just said. It's good to see you all. Good to see my friends from this house and friends from other streams that are here, and those of you that we've been collaborating with the last few days. It's been really fun and enjoyable. A huge thanks to Ron and Donna Kotinski for your invitation to come back. I never take that for granted, and your friendship is precious to us. This house is precious to us, and what the Lord is doing here is astonishing. It's amazing. Are we on? Oh, it might be. Hold on. It is amazing, the enthusiasm and the excitement that is among you for worship and for the presence of the Lord, to be together in fellowship. It is fruit from all the other times that I've been here, and I rejoice with you in that. I bring you greetings from our church in Old Saybrook, Connecticut, and from my wife Danielle, our children. Everybody says hi. I also bring you greetings from my dad, who I spoke with this morning. I was actually in that green room in the back, and I was talking to my dad. And I said, Dad, it would be really good if you and Mom would pray for me. I'm going to be up in a few minutes, and I'll be speaking in Florida. And he said, Marie, the dams are full of water, and the mountains are full of snow in Cyprus. And I said, Dad, that is an irrelevant statement to what I asked you to do. It just happened over there in the green room while the worship team was practicing. And he says, it is very relevant because you are in the Florida, right? He always puts a the in front of everything. And I said, yes, I am. And he says, do you know what the Florida means? I said, yes, I know what it means, Dad. He said, it means full of flowers. And after the snows have melted, and the water has gone from the dams to the rivers in Cyprus, we will also have flowers. Just happened. I told Ron, he gives me so much good material, man. I also had a fun interaction with my daughter. As many of you know, my children have hired me to handle their savings accounts. They're all very, very entrepreneurial, very money savvy, and they make good money, and it's really a good stream of income for me to handle their savings accounts and get a cut of everything that I put in there. No, it's the deal that we have. I get 5% of everything that goes in, and if they take it out prematurely, I get 5% on the way out, just like your financial advisors do. And my daughter wrote me over the weekend and said, I want you to move $200 into my account, and whatever. She told me the categories to distribute it in. And I said to her, Chloe, it would be really nice if you added my fee so that I have even numbers to work with. And this is what she said. I'm just going to go find the text because this is too good to pass up. She says, Dear Marios, my kids call me Marios when they're not happy with me. Dear Marios, I pay you to do the numbers, so I don't have to do the numbers. Do your job. Somewhere we failed. Everywhere, perhaps. Hallelujah. I want to read a couple of verses from 2 Chronicles, and then tell you what I think we're going to do together today. We do have an assignment, and I so appreciate everything that's already happened and everything the Lord is doing among you to prepare us for this moment, because I feel like there's a deposit that needs to go forth from this place and perhaps to everybody who's listening beyond this place, and most of all for the angels to take what is being spoken here and to proclaim it far and beyond this place. I know that we're very state conscious, we're very city conscious, we're very nationally minded, where we think of our nations, our cities, our states, and we should, and that's good. But I've been thinking a lot more about humanity as a whole, and the sons of God, and the people of God as a whole, and the potential that exists within us to accomplish things beyond us if we would just align with God's word. That's So these verses really go together, and I'll bring them together. Now King Solomon gave to the Queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, much more than what she had brought to the king. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Verse 22 of the same chapter of 2 Chronicles, that's 2 Chronicles 9. So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom, and all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Each man brought his present, articles of silver and gold, garments, armor, spices, horses, and mules at a set rate, year by year. And then it goes on to tell us what Solomon had and what he possessed and what he accomplished and what he built. And by the way, he built a house, and I feel it's very relevant for the type of worship that you have here today. He built a house, Paulo, where hammer and chisel couldn't be brought to the building site where they were building the temple. Do you know why? He wouldn't allow the sound of construction on the site where the temple was built because the sound of labor and construction would interfere with the harmonics, which is the sound of heaven that was to come forth as they worshiped in that place, and there was to be no disruption of that. And you, brother, and your team carry harmonics. Wow. You're a pillar and acoustics in the back for that sound to come forth. And it's not just music and it's not just songs, but there's an essence and a fragrance on that sound that permeates and goes deep and communicates, this comes from heaven. There are scriptures that are our favorites. I like that Randy said this is one of my favorite scriptures, and we all have our favorites. But have you considered what scriptures would be withdrawn from scripture and we wouldn't have a case? Here's one. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Take that out, we have nothing. The Lord is faithful. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. These are verses that are so fundamental for our faith, for who we are, for what we believe, for where we're going. But for me, if I were to consider a verse that if you took it out of scripture, I'm out of business, like a pizza shop without sauce. Can you tell it's getting to lunchtime? Like, no more dough. A mechanic without tools. Whatever profession you have, you are, you can think of right now, taking away the essence of what makes it what it is. If you take this verse from Genesis 12 out, I don't have a job. Through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So for 5 years, I've been coming here. This is the fifth Sunday that I'm speaking here in a row. And every year, I have talked about the blessing of Abraham. Hallelujah. And the very first year I came, I remember when I said, the blessings of Abraham are coming to this house. Hallelujah. And every year, I've seen an increasing measure the blessings of Abraham being released. That promise that God gave to Abraham, blessing I will bless you and multiplying I will multiply you, is here. Because if you are Christ's, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's Galatians 3 and 29. So because we are Christ's, we are Abraham's seed, which means whatever God said to Abraham, whatever God promised Abraham, applies to us because we are Christ's and we have that promise applied to our lives. And so I'm seeing the manifestation of that word I gave the very first time I was here, which was, remember I talked to you about, those of you who were here, about Abraham and Lot and how they were going to separate. And Abraham said, if you go left, I'll go right. If you go right, I'll go left. And I asked you the question, why does he say that? It's very evident that not both directions have equally fertile land. But he said that because he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. What did he believe God? That when God promised and said to him, I will bless you, and those who bless you, I will bless, and those who curse you, I will curse. He believed it, and he believed that he was a carrier of the blessing, which meant wherever he goes, he will prosper, regardless of what the environment is, regardless of what man says, regardless of what Lot picks, he will be blessed. Which means, I told you then, this is a recap, that if you have a job that you don't like, or you're in a place that seems arid or barren, because of the blessing that's on your life, it should explode with growth. That you carry something that supersedes the environment you're in. It's a blessing that permeates everything you put your hands to, because the blessing is on people and not on the land. The blessing is on the people and not on the place you work. It's because of the blessing on us that the place we work and live and have our being in is prospering. It's because of the blessing on us that our neighborhoods are safe. It's because of our blessing that there is blessing. The blessing comes from God, and he gave it to a man who's our father. That's the word. And so there's something that I need to share with you today that has only happened one time. It is the part of the promise that God gave to Abraham that has only manifested once on the earth. There is a precedent for it, which means anybody who understands law will tell us that once there is a precedent, you can build a case. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
okay. Prosecutor, she knows stuff. Don't mess with her. Don't let her thin frame fool you. She can take you out. Legally. It only happened once. We only have this precedent once, that out of one man's life, out of one man's government, out of one nation, Israel, there would be blessing through them for everyone. And that's the part of the promise that God gave to Abraham that had yet to manifest in David's reign. Everything else had manifested. He had established a kingdom that was powerful. He had overcome adversity that was forceful against him. He had built government. He had built worship. He had built systems. They had wealth. They had abundance. They had favor. They had victory in battle. But they did not yet have the last part of the Genesis 12 blessing, which was through you. All the families of the earth will be blessed. And there's a summons that I've received from heaven to step into this assignment, to start to proclaim and to declare the possibilities that exist for the sons of God to arise, meaning sons and daughters, to arise and take their place and be positioned within the blessing in such a way that through us and what we carry and what we engage with, blessing will spread everywhere. Not just in a city, not just in a state or a nation, but the cosmos will begin to be blessed because we are aligned with that blessing, which was for everything to be blessed. Don't worry about them throwing money up here. It's okay. It gets really weird when you go through airports with stacks of dollar bills. Especially for my sisters. I'll leave that alone. So for years, I've been coming here and talking to you about this one encounter between Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. I've been talking about it for years. I've been studying it for almost a decade now. Almost 10 years. It'll be 10 years in October. It's when I first engaged in October, 10 years ago. And I've been in this story, not just, you know how they have these movies now where they're showing this really cool action scene and they go really fast into the scene and then they go really, really slow motion. Yeah. You seen it? It's like these techniques that they do to just grab our attention and to do filmmaking in a way that's really captivating. And I think it's really cool. You know what I mean? Like when there's like an action scene, somebody pulls out a sword and it goes fast and then it goes really slow as they're doing what they do with a sword. I can't say it because We're so holy here. Oh, but wait, the religious critters left. Bro, that was so cool. I wish you would have just kept preaching that one. So I've been seeing this encounter in slow motion, but I've also entered it in the spirit, and I've seen what took place, but not only what the word says, but also what is between the lines, which has been brought to us by revelation. And so what I shared with you last time I was here, which was last year, and Danielle was with us as well, was that the Queen of Sheba, when she came to Solomon and she saw all this stuff, right? She wasn't impressed with his stuff. But Marios, dear Marios, my kids would say, the Bible says she was impressed with his stuff. Because it says when she saw the food on his table, the seating of his servants, when she saw the waiters and their apparel, when she saw the house that he had built, that stuff. And it says she was impressed with it, but that's not all that the Bible says. Therefore, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says all of it. And all of it includes the part that we read through so quickly that is the most important part, which says when she saw the way by which he went up to the house of his God. What is that? In the original Hebrew language, I took 6 months of studying this letter by letter. Each letter, you have to understand that in the Hebrew, when you take one letter, it means something. And if you put the pictorials, it's another whole thing. And if you put those letters together, it's like chemistry, right? Where you take hydrogen, which is a gas, and oxygen, which is a gas, and you make water, which is a liquid. So when you take all these letters together and you string them together, you find what it really means. And this is what it really means. I'm going to save you 6 months of study for free. It's a Greek deal. It means when she saw the way by which he ascended into the house of his God. The way by which he dimensionally, actually, it says ascended, which means there were dimensions that he learned to navigate. That his prayer life wasn't just pacing in a room asking God for the laundry list of things he needed for the day. His prayer wasn't some religious exercise, but he actually learned how to leave this world and enter that realm. And in that realm, he breathed in the essence of what was in heaven. And in that world, he took hold of the gold and the glory and everything that heaven had. And he came back and exhaled it. And that's why he made gold and silver as abundant as the stones. You understand that in Solomon's day, they had so much gold, they were paving with it. And so if you wanted a really fancy driveway that would outdo your neighbors, you brought someone in who was an expert in stone. Can you build me a stone driveway? They'd be like, no, we only do gold. I'll pay you in stone. Okay, I'll do it. Ridiculous things, but probably true. Listen, I deal in gold. I deal in silver. And I have gems. I get this stuff. I'm in those markets. There is no amount of trade that can produce the kind of gold you pave with. Which means there was a creative component to Solomon's reign. He wasn't just administering a kingdom he got from David. He was actually going up into heaven, and from his father was getting the technology and the ability to transform stones to gold. I know I can't prove it from the scriptures, but I saw it. So you can take it or you can leave it, but there is a summons for us to requisition provision out of the creation like Jesus did when he said, go, and in the mouth of the fish there is a gold coin. And if you want it, you can have it. I want it, and if you don't want it, I'll take your ability to do it, because I believe it's time to rise up and to start take over and have authority over all creation, not just weather patterns. I know that believers have believed that we can have authority over weather patterns. We can have authority over everything our Father created. Why? Because he gave us dominion over all the works of his hands. And Solomon got that, and the Queen of Sheba came. And the reason she wasn't impressed with his stuff is because she had her own stuff. I'm always around wealthy people, always. My wife is always around the poor. She always cares for the needy. I think I told you the story where I was in Geneva and I wanted to negotiate the sale of this watch because I have this thing for watches. And Danielle was at the house that Mother Teresa built for the sick and dying in Ethiopia. And I texted her and I said, I know this isn't a good time, but can I buy this watch? And what she should have said to me, you vain, selfish, wrong man. But instead she said, absolutely, you have to get the watch. Because where you're going, you're going to need that watch. And where you're going, you're going to get what it takes to fund where I'm going. Who do you think is her greatest supporter financially for that organization and who leverages more resource for that than anyone? She doesn't even know who donates to her ministry and to her humanitarian organization. But it's all through things that I'm doing because she said you should have the watch. It's good to know your lane. Stay in your lane. So I'm always around very wealthy people, whether it's Geneva or Singapore or Greece or Cyprus or anywhere in the world. I'm always drawn to the rich because that's my assignment. And also because I'm not impressed with their stuff. I have my own stuff. And if I don't have my stuff, my dad has stuff. Amen. He won't give it to me, but it's okay. And she brought gold, and she brought gems, and she brought spices in abundance, it says in the scriptures, to honor Solomon. Listen, you have to get this. You're bringing gold to Solomon. I just told you they're paving with it. Why is she bringing gold to Solomon? Because that's the best she could do at the stage of development and wealth she had. So she brought the best she could bring to him because the gift, you have to get this, the gift that we brought and put in here doesn't just represent the honor and the obedience and the love that we have for the one we give it to, which is ultimately the Lord. It also represents the kingly grace that's on our lives and the level of development we've had in that area of finance. When I give you a gift, the gift reflects the love and the honor I have for you, but it also represents who I am and where I come from. That's why when kings move, they always bring gifts that represent who they are and where they come from. So she brought the best gift that she could bring to honor what was in him and to honor what she was coming to behold. So she brought so much gold that it was in the hundreds of millions of gold, silver, and spices in the hundreds of millions of today's dollars worth. And she brought it through rough terrain to Solomon. And there's more gold where she's going than anything she left where she came from. You have to get this. And when she came to him and she presented these things to him, he received them. And then he answered her questions. And after he answered her questions, she saw where all this was coming from. That it was coming from heaven and not the earth. That it was coming from strategies and counsel that was not of this world. And that's what we need more than anything. We don't need the solutions that come from men's minds. We need the solutions that come from the council and the war rooms of heaven. We need the unction and the anointing to stir us into those realms where the answers come from and the solutions are brought to all problems. He had that. He knew everything there was to know about anything there was. It says that he knew about the birds of the field and he knew about all the systems and the ecosystems in the world and he understood how the winds blow and he understood how the rain came down and he studied none of these subjects. It was supernatural wisdom because he encountered wisdom. And when she saw that, she was undone and she presented all these things to him and he received them. But the verse that we opened up with says, King Solomon gave to the Queen of Sheba all she desired, which means the things that she came to ask him about, whatever she asked, and then it says he gave her much more than she had brought to the king. Wow. Some of you are ahead of me and you see it. You see where I'm going with this. You see it. I know. I see it in your face. She brought to him something that was of great value that he didn't need, but she honored him with it. Then because he's a greater king by way of wealth and by way of wisdom and accomplishment on the earth, he gave to her a gift that represented who he was. And it was greater than what she brought to him. He wasn't trying to outdo her. He wasn't trying to humiliate her. He was honoring her with the best he could honor her with, which was more than what she had because he was in a greater place. So he gave to her more than what she gave to him. And I want you to notice that because we can never outgive God, because he is the one who owns it all. The earth is the Lord's and all of its fullness. When we are in alignment with the flow of heaven, with resource and with finance and with material things, then that means that whatever we are doing will be superseded by whatever he can do. Because he's the greater king. He's the greatest king. The Bible says he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So whatever we bring to him, be it our worship or be it our adoration or be it our prayers, be it our desires of our heart, be it the way we care for the people around us, be it financial resource, he can give more as long as the motive by which we bring it and the attitude with which we come is right. Then we are in the flow of the resource allocation and distribution from heaven. And so he gives to her more than what she gave to him. And watch this now. It says, and she went to her own country. And that's a very significant verse. We would assume she would go back to her own country, but it states that she did. Because this is the part that was highlighted to me to bring to you today, which is when she went to her country, she brought back more than what she left with from that country. She took gold and spices and gemstones from her country. The wealth of that nation went with her to Solomon. Solomon received it, honored her with more than what she brought to him because he was a greater king. Now she goes back to her country, to her people, and brings to them more from Israel. And for the first time and only time, we begin to see the manifestation of the last part of the blessing of Abraham, which is this: through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. But it gets better because the next verse I read said, King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. And all the kings of the earth. Think about all the corners of the earth you can think of right now. Think about all the kingdoms you can think of. Think about the Incas of Peru. Think about the Aztecs of Mexico. Think about those European savages that I come from. Think about, I'm just talking about my people. We are Greek men. All of them, every single ruler of every single tribe and nation came to Solomon. This says that. And each brought a gift. And according to the precedent that we've already explored together, I assure you, each of them went back with more. And so out of the nation that is in the heart of God, out of the nation where his eyes and his heart is always, Israel, comes blessing through Solomon into all the nations of the earth. And for the first time and only time, there is no war in Israel. Do you understand how hated that nation is where it is? I grew up around there. We're always wondering, is one of those missiles that's aimed for them going to come over here? Look at the map. All their neighbors hate them. They've had wars with all of them, and if there's any peace, it's always temporary. But for the first time and only time, there is peace, and everyone wants to trade with them. Everyone wants to do business with them. Everyone wants to bring gifts to them. But because there's a greater king in Israel, and now, through us, one greater than Solomon is here. The resource flows outward because it's not about him and it's not about his nation. It's about the glory of the God being revealed and being manifest and his goodness being known. Through what people can see and touch, what people need for their daily livelihood, they can see that there's a God who's good when their king leaves and brings something from their wealth and comes back with more. And that wealth is not even of this world. Do you understand what happens when there's something that's created supernaturally that is then brought into natural places. The transformation that took place for that to come out of the supernatural arena and the invisible realm into this realm is carried by the object and by the item and by the person that that is on. If there's anything of substance, anything of power, anything that's anointed that I'm bringing to you today, it's not because I'm standing here clothed in what I'm clothed, coming from the family line that I come from. It's because I've learned to do what Solomon did. It's to dimensionally ascend. And sometimes it takes months of process to do one message like this. But I'm presenting to you the summons that was presented to me. It's very rarely that I've gotten these things where one time I saw an application form appear right over here to my right. I was in Spokane, Washington, and an application appeared to me, and it was full-time giver position. This was not from the earth. It was from heaven, and it was an application for someone to sign on to become a full-time giver, and I signed on that day. Guess what he said to me after that? You start today. I said, I don't really have much on me right now. He says, yes, you do. And I looked down and I had this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful ring that my wife and I bought, matching sapphire rings. It's absolutely stunning. It was my favorite one. He says, you start today. It's amazing when you say yes to the summons. And that's a whole other story for another time. But there are these summons that come. And we have one today. Will you be the blessing that blesses all the nations of the earth? Will you position yourself, align yourself with the blessing of Abraham in such a way where all the nations of the earth will be blessed? This isn't an offering pitch, by the way. I don't need anything from you. I don't do this for money. I'm just telling you that as a people of God, we have an opportunity to train ourselves and educate ourselves in the things pertaining to resource allocation, resource distribution, resource acquisition, yes, financial education that will take us out of the dark ages of the poverty mindset that has plagued the church and align us with that blessing that God spoke to Abraham. Blessing, listen, poverty is not a virtue. I know that that messes with a lot of theology that's around us, but it's not in us. It's not in here. Poverty is not a virtue because if it had been, God would have said to Abraham, poor, I will make you poor. And all the poor will be poorer because of you. I can't even say it. I can't even finish that. I can't even finish that joke. The blessing of Abraham carried life, the essence of the heart of God. When we go to a restaurant, and there is a waitress or a waiter that serves us, and we leave 150% tip. They always come back and say, you must have made a mistake. And we say, we didn't make a mistake. You did everything right. And we want to thank you. No, God bless you. No tract that has a person, whatever, I don't even want to say it. Not one of those tracks that looks like a $100 bill and when you flip it over, it's a bunch of verses. I worked in restaurants. Yeah. Nothing is more annoying to a server than that. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing will make you lose your credibility unless there's a $100 bill in there as well. Yeah. Yeah. I just went over like a pregnant pole vaulter, but that's okay. You need to hear this. Ron started this by dealing with the critters. We need to get these poverty critters and these religious things that give us no credibility in the world out of our system. So when we leave 150% tip, when we double the bill, when we do these crazy things and we don't try to tell them we're Christians, it makes them wonder, and they actually Google us. They take the credit card. This has happened where they took the credit card name and they Google to find out who this is, and then they're buying books and they're buying products and they're sending us messages and saying, you left me 150% tip and now I'm serving God because this is the process I walk through. It's because I carry a blessing that I want to leave everywhere I go, and you do too. And so we have this summons, we have this possibility here that Solomon established, and because it was there, we know that it can be here. But there hasn't been a generation that has risen to that standard yet. And I believe it's us. I believe we can do that. And it's not just Florida and it's not Connecticut. This isn't a word about the beginning of the year and all that stuff. The calendars that we follow and the systems that we follow, we respect them, we honor them. But I'm telling you that God's perspective is much bigger than that. So this isn't like about how to start the year and how 2020 is Vision 2020 and all these messages that are going around everywhere. I'm sorry if there are here. Listen, we gotta ascend above all this stuff that we've engaged with that are limiting. They're good, but they're limiting. You know what's unlimited? He is unlimited. The blessing that he spoke to Abraham is unlimited. It has the capacity to set you up as kings and priests on the earth, to have the authority, to have every possibility bow to you. It has every door opening. We are moving into areas we never even thought existed with influence and power and authority and blessing. There comes a time for us to look for a deal and get the best bargain, and there comes a time for us to pay full price. Like Abraham did when he buried Sarah, and they said, listen, you can have the field for free. And he said, no, I'm going to pay full price for it. Why? Because he leveraged the blessing he walked in to make sure that everyone around him was also blessed. It's the leveraging of the honor that comes to you because you come from another world. And you say, the world I come from, there is no lack. There is no shortage. There's abundance. I want you to have of it. I'm all for the good deal. Trust me. Grew up in the Greek world. One of my first financial education lessons, my dad took me on a cruise of all things. That's the first and only one I ever did. We've had some conversations about the things I don't like. Brussels sprouts, cruises, fairs. I didn't tell you about fairs. Now I'm venting. Camping. And boats. He took me on a 3-day cruise to Latakia, which is what was formerly known as Damascus in Syria, to teach me, Maria, I will teach you how to bargain, he said. And we got off the boat and went into this little, you know, those like little streets where they're selling everything. They'll sell you the bones of Genghis Khan if you're not careful. You know what I'm talking about? And my dad negotiated like he was brutal, man. I was embarrassed. I was hiding behind these little curtains because my dad was doing this thing where they wanted $10 for something beautiful. And my dad was like, I give you $1 for that. And my dad's like, come on, $8. Dad's like, $1 for you. And the guy would end up giving it to him. He says, leave and never come back again. I don't want to see your face. You disgust me. I just wanted you to know my heritage. I wanted you to know where I was raised. This is the background that I have. This is how I was trained. There's a time to bargain. There's a time to get the best deal. And there's a time to pay full price so that everyone is blessed. When you bring a tradesman, a tradeswoman into your house to do some work, that's not a time to bargain. Because that's their life that they invested to learn that trade. We had this guy come to do pipe stuff. Like, listen, I got to tell you, this is what I can do on a good day. I can do this. That's it. Like, you put a tool in my hand, it starts to go badly, quickly. So I bring these people in. I have no idea what they're talking about. Like, they're using terms like distributor, aquastat. What is that? I don't know a thing about what they're talking about. It's like a different language. It's like Chinese. It's the different dialects of Chinese to me. What am I going to do when I say to that person, listen, I don't like your price? Bring somebody reputable that is well recommended by someone and then give them what they ask for. Why? Because you're a carrier of the blessing. And you will determine the extent to which that blessing will go by standing in your place to say, I am a king that has abundance, and I will be a blessing. And if you're not, begin to prosper, continue to prosper until you become very prosperous. That's what Isaac did. I believe that we are on the cusp of breaking forth into something that will be unprecedented on the earth in that not just one king that was full of the wisdom of God and not just one nation, but wherever there are the children of God on the earth, there will be a manifestation of this, and it's happening. Because the things that I shared with you and the passion that we have to see blessing come to everyone is actually being picked up by many around the earth. And many of you are here. You walk in this. They walk in this. This house has that DNA. Because when I said to you, the blessings of Abraham are here, the next year I came, I saw the manifestation of it. And now, an even greater measure. And so, we have this opportunity to be a part of this great ever-increasing company of people who are God's people that are establishing pockets on the earth that will be eventually cities and nations. And I'm not talking about nations that will be recognized with a flag and with a government that is official, but nations that are like a team that says, we are a nation of the dolphins. That's not a nation. It doesn't have geographical boundaries, but I promise you it's a nation. Because they have values and they have things in people's minds that are bigger than even what an official nation can say you have. And so there are going to be pockets that develop into nations on the earth of the sons of God that are stepping into their place of authority and responsibility to take what he gives and to distribute it so that more will keep flowing because he is the greater giver and he owns it all. No more fear about finance coming into our mouths and into our hands and into our pockets. No more fear about money in the church. No more stinginess. No more of this, I just want to duck and leave. That's why we ask God to prosper us so we can go somewhere without any need from anyone. I stand here today with that testimony. And it's because I've come to summon you with me to that place where we say yes. If you came to hear a word from God, I promise you he came to hear a word from you. Yes. And it's yes. I'll do it. Yes. Here I am. Yes. Like Isaiah said, here I am. Start with me. Align ourselves with destiny. Align ourselves with that blessing because it's been forgotten in a weak, religious mindset of false humility has convinced us that we need to maintain this poverty posture in order to be blessed. And nothing could be farther from the truth. We are the Solomons to our generation. That's actually not even 100% accurate. One greater than Solomon is here. Hallelujah. I want to pray for you and declare some things. Can we pray? Would you stand? I'm going to stand up here so I can see you all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just begin to engage with the heart of the Father. Begin to see what is available, what is possible. We need to stop saying, you don't know my story. I just read about 15 minds in this place. We need to stop saying, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what my circumstances are. If we had a whole week, I couldn't tell you the impossibility we face to be in this place right now. The impossibility they face to be leading you right now. The impossibilities of this facility even being in existence and of our lives being what they are. We do not go based on what is impossible. We go based on knowing that we serve the God of the impossible. The God through whom nothing is impossible. Engage with that reality. Let that be our reality and not what is appearing to be our reality. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that there will be supernatural grace in this place right now for mountains to be removed and mindsets to be cast down, to be leveled, mindsets that are contrary to what your word says, mindsets that are contrary to what you spoke to Abraham. Father, we thank you that you have made us blessed to be a blessing, and you've multiplied us to be multiplied on the earth. We thank you for the increase in numbers. We thank you for the increase in substance. We thank you for the increase in urge to pursue the more of God. We thank you for the fire and the manifestation of your power in our midst. We thank you, Father, that you are the one who is good and you give good gifts. There is no variableness in you. There is no shadow of turning with you. You have given us the blessings of Abraham, and we receive them and we align ourselves with them. In the name of Jesus, come on, pray your own prayers. Pray your own prayers. Do your work today. Pray in the Spirit and with understanding. Call forth that which he said is yours towards you. Hallelujah. Somebody get excited. This is the blessing of the Lord, which makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. Stop being afraid of it. Stand in the way of it. Be overtaken by it. I'm going to leave you. I very rarely read this. I started the year by bringing my whole family around my table. I brought my whole family around my table. And I told my family that I want to establish an LNS family fund, which is a fund that we will all contribute into and that I will manage for a time. One of my children will take it over. And we are thinking generationally to establish wealth and blessing that will come for generations to advance the kingdom of God. And I read to them what I'm going to read to you, which means I see you as family this morning. I didn't read this in my own home church. And I'm not saying I think of them less than I think of you, but in this moment right now, I believe this is for you more than it was for them at the beginning of the year. This is Deuteronomy 28. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Remember, nations are not just geographical locations. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Receive it right now, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Come on, you have a farmer, a cow farmer, a herder of cattle as your leader. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and be careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods and to serve them. The rest of Deuteronomy 28 is what happens to those who do the opposite. It does not apply to us. Hallelujah.
Wow. My God, my God. Ooh. That's a word. Go ahead and be seated for a second. many times have we received an offering because we paint the need so big that, you know, you've got to give to it. The need is there. You've got to do it. Or we can have somebody stand up and, well, they obviously don't need it, so I'm not going to give. We base our giving on the depth of need. I heard a story. I think it's a true story. I may have the king wrong, but I think it was King Alexander. Was going through the streets and encountered a beggar. And the beggar was emaciated and desperately had need. And so he went to the servant that was walking with him with some of his treasures, and he took a gold coin and he gave it to the beggar, which in that case would have been several years' wages for that beggar. And as they went on, his servant said, "Your Majesty, a copper coin would have certainly have met the need of that beggar. Why did you give a gold coin?" And the king said, "Yes, a copper coin would have fit the need of the beggar, but a gold coin fit the need of the giving of a king." We can't let need be the thing that drives what we give, how we give, who we give to. It has to be our kingship. Otherwise, we will get off everything that we do. Today, I want to sow a seed. We've already talked about what we want to do while you were talking. And by the way, I didn't know what you were going to teach on today. But I'm so glad I came up and scattered critters before we came. Because I'm telling you, money and church. Is there any religious spirits? I mean, it just happens because it's been so abused. Can I just be a really gut level honest with you? I've been in some of, with, you know, the guys that fly the jets and have 12 homes and so on. I've been in some of the green room meetings and some of the stuff that goes on there. It's just not well pleasing to God. And I want you to know today there's none of that. There isn't any of that. I've been around it. I know. Just trust me. This is pure. I don't even want to go into that. That's a negative vein. But I want to tell you that there is a purity of heart in the word that you heard, but the motivation is not to get. The motivation, I promise you, is for you to be positioned correctly so that you can live up to the scripture that says you're blessed to be a blessing. Come on, let's be honest with each other. Most of the body of Christ, they're not blessed to be a blessing. Everybody's run around looking for the blessing. What we heard today is to get us to the place where we can have an abundance for every good work. How many of you would be honest and say, yes, I do. I'm not talking about in the spirit. I'm talking about in the natural, that I have an abundance for every good work. And yet that's the place that we're supposed to be. So God is not afraid of you having wealth. The devil is afraid of you having wealth because God knows what you'll do with it. So I want to receive an offering today, and I pray it's a great, generous offering, not because of need. And I guarantee you where it will go is not just into more gold bricks or whatever. And if that's what you decide to do with, that's wonderful. But he doesn't own 10 homes, and he doesn't own a whole fleet of cars, and it's not that. He lives well, and I'm thankful for the model that you give us to follow. It's a healthy wealth model, not an abused wealth model. Anyways, let's not give because there's need or there's not need. Let's take that off the table today, and let's give because we're kings and we're stepping into king's ways of being generous and giving. Let's start it today. Let's walk in it today. You can empower the words you heard by stepping into the word today. So, how many of you in here today, you would just say, yes. 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 All right. Prepare a king's gift. Yes. Prepare a king's gift. priest raised to your feet, I want to declare something over you. I declare that today you have received even more of the mind of Christ in every situation. I believe that you walk in abundance everywhere you go, that every place you put your hands, it prospers under the anointing of God. Listen, not so you can be some cigar-smoking, big Cadillac-driving mansion fly. No. He says wealth and riches will be in the home of the righteous. Why? So that we can establish his covenant. I declare you covenant establishers today because you walk in the ways of a king. You are a king. You are a king. You are a king's kid, and you belong to a king. You walk in king's ways. So I declare abundance over you in Jesus' name. I say that you have creative and witty ideas that will bring increase to you. I believe you are blessed to be a blessing. Hallelujah. I believe that you are rich to scatter the word of God around the globe. You are kingdom funders in Jesus' name. So I just declare wealth and riches arrive at your home because your mindset has changed today. So I thank you, Jesus, for a new foundation from which we operate. Thank you, God, you've reset. PC. You know what? If you have a PC computer and it starts operating the wrong way, you know you can reset your computer. So today, poverty critters, PCs, got reset today. Your PC is reset so that we can walk forward correctly in kingdom ways. So I just declare that over you in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Marios. Great word. God bless you.
Sing a little louder. Or-